The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Next guest is joining us from the United States. She's the author of countless best-selling books, including Pieces of Her, The Good Daughter, and After That Night. With over 40 million copies sold worldwide, she's developed a global fan base, and her books have been turned into a number of hit television shows. She has a brand new book coming out tomorrow. It's a brilliant crime thriller. It's called This Is Why We Lied. It's the latest in the Will Trent series. And author Karen Slaughter joins me now. Karen, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, I've just been reading your latest book, which is yet another thriller, This Is Why We Lied. And it keeps me on the edge of my either couch, chair or bed, depending on where I'm reading it.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. I always love when people are enjoying the books.
It opens in a very cinematic way, and we're delighted to realize that Will Trent and Sarah Linton have finally married.
Yeah, well, it was a choice to just skip right into the honeymoon, but yeah, I thought it would be a little too soppy for a thriller to have a wedding ceremony.
So we find them on their honeymoon in a place called McAlpine Lodge.
Yeah, you know, I at first I didn't really think about the problems that you can run into with a locked room mystery. I just had this idea of them at a lodge, and pretty quickly I figured out this could be some Agatha Christie type stuff. Of course, I don't think she would have written the things quite like I write them, but it seemed like a good puzzle for me to try to solve, is to have all of these people who could be suspects and a murdered person, and you know, try to use that formula in a way, but also anticipate the problems that might arise, you know, like, oh, they can't get cell service, oh, the bridge is out, that sort of thing, and just kind of lean into that and say, well, you know, there are such things as satellite phones now, and there are all different modern versions of technology that help with locked room mysteries. And so it was a lot of fun to research that.
Yeah. Now, one of the things when you're in a location like the one you feature in McAlpine Lodge is trying to describe where everything is. But you get over that because you have a charming map at the beginning of the book, which tells me where everybody lives or is staying.
Yeah. That was so much fun to do, and my editor had to pull me back from it because I love design. I used to be in design, so I was spending a lot more time on that map than I should have when I should have been spending it on the book, and she pulled me back from that. But yeah, I love books with maps or any kind of reference in the front where you can follow along and figure out where people are, and getting a map that felt like it fit the theme and the tone of the book was really important. So I'm just really delighted, and I hope people love looking at it.
Now, when you have a death, and, you know, there is a murder to solve here, and happily Will and Sarah happen to be on site and therefore
yeah.
able to help solve the mystery, you know, you're setting it in a place that is so out of the way that people have to hike to get there.
Yeah, you know, that would be my nightmare. I'm not much of a hiker. I do love outdoor sports. I just took my vacation in Wyoming, and I basically lived their honeymoon fishing and kayaking and all of that without the murder, of course, that you know of. So it did feel like something that Will would be very excited about because he's such a physical and active guy, and I made it clear that Sarah was not so much into camping as she was, okay, this hike is nice and this could be fun. And of course, you know, that one of the hardest things to write if you're a crime author is happy people. So I had to make sure that they weren't going to stay happy for long.
Yeah. And I was thinking, when you write about this murder in this out of the way place where to which you have to hike, that you yourself, I've read this, I have no idea where it is exactly, but that you write in a cabin in the woods.
I do. You know, it's kind of remote, and I've got a beautiful long-range mountain view and all that stuff, but then inside I've got all the necessities, such as air conditioning. I know you guys are having a little bit of a heat wave this summer, so you know how important air conditioning is. We're going to reach 100 today, I think. So I just like to sequester myself and be part of nature and just relax and enjoy myself.
And are there wolves and bears around?
There are, and a lot of deer, which is nice, especially this time of year. We've had a lot of deer activity, unfortunately eating my plants, but that's another complaint.
Best-selling author, In Secluded Wood, it almost begs for someone to write a murder mystery about you.
Yeah, well, hopefully that won't happen. But if it does, fortunately, we have a lot of fantastic crime writers working today, so I hope one of them takes it up.
You can see the headline already, Slaughter Slaughtered.
Yeah.
In the woods. Anyway,
absolutely.
Bring us back to the setting and the scenario here. Now, it's no problem to give away who is murdered. It's not a spoiler because it happens so early in the book.
It does, and it's actually on the front cover, the question of who killed her. Her name is Mercy McAlpine, and she's been running the lodge, and we get to see through her eyes that there are a lot of people on that mountain that want her dead. And that's the great puzzle of the story, is who is mad enough at her to actually murder her.
It's a big book. I mean, it's fatter than some of your other books that I've read. How long does it take you to write book from start to finish? I mean, I know you talk about thinking time, which might be a long time, and then writing time, which is much more disciplined.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I love most is when I first start a book and I get to think about the shape of the story and how it's going to look and that sort of thing. And I think the most important thing is that it reads very quickly. You know, hopefully the time is just flying by and you're flipping the pages to find out what the next cliffhanger is. But this book took about as long as all the other ones have taken, which is about 4 months, really sitting down in intensive writing. But as you said, most of my writing is done in my head. So I honestly was thinking about this book last year, a year before I wrote it, because I thought, okay, I want to take on this kind of Agatha Christie puzzle and make it my own. And hopefully readers feel like I accomplished that.
And was there any particular point of inspiration to selecting the location?
Yeah, absolutely. I've written a few stories that take place up in the mountains, like one of my standalones, The Good Daughter, takes place up in that area. But this seemed like a really great opportunity to talk about just the outdoor aspects of being in the mountains, which I love, and hopefully a lot of your readers, I guess Ireland has Wicklow Mountain, which is a beautiful, beautiful setting, but I don't think it's the same as the Blue Ridge Mountains, but hopefully people will read it and think, wow, you know, this is something I'd want to do, of course, without the murder.
Without the murder. Now, the character of Mercy McAlpine was inspired by someone within your own family.
That's correct. You know, my grandmother was in a very abusive relationship with my grandfather, and it was something we as a family unfortunately never talked about. I remember when I was a little girl figuring it out that, you know, this is what's going on. And my sister saying to me that we just don't talk about it. And I realized as an adult that not talking about it only protected my grandfather, who was just beating the hell out of my grandmother. And, you know, a lot of people of my generation were told that's private, that's a family matter or whatever. And I wanted to write about that dynamic and how protecting the abuser by not talking about it can be destructive to the abused person.
Because women who are abused often blame themselves. It must be my fault.
They do. Yeah. And, you know, you get that a lot with Mercy, but she doesn't sit with it much. You know, she just thinks this is how my life is and these are the choices I made and there's nothing I can do about it. But I kind of wanted to show what a trap it is, because a lot of people will say, well, you should just leave. And I would challenge them to, you know, put down their phones, put down their iPads and just walk out the door. No money, no resources, no nothing, because that's what you're telling women in abusive situations to do. You know, abandon your pets, figure out how you're going to take care of your children. You know, it's a very complicated situation, particularly if you don't have financial resources. And that's definitely the case with Mercy, is she's just very much trapped by these horrific circumstances that have built up over her lifetime.
And when you were a young girl, were you aware that it wasn't just that your grandmother was clumsy and kept falling down, that she was actually being beaten?
Yeah, absolutely. I did know that that was happening, but also it was made clear to me that we just don't talk about that. And so there weren't any conversations beyond the fact, oh, you know, my uncle's teasing her about being clumsy, or, you know, even if she had a broken bone or a split lip, there was just all this teasing about, well, you know, she's just very clumsy and she fell down and, you know, my grandfather was responsible, and we never really acknowledged that.
Now, you were writing stories at a very young age.
Yeah, I started about 6 years old, just writing and illustrating stories. And, you know, most of them were about my sisters being brutally murdered or kidnapped or things like that, because I desperately wanted to be an only child. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was actually a happy ending. It wasn't really that anyone wanted to solve the mystery of why they were gone. It was just, oh, you know, Karen's an only child now. And my sisters weirdly did not like any of those books, but my father thought they were hilarious. And he would give me a quarter every time I wrote a new one. So he really incentivized me from the very beginning to write these kinds of stories.
And eventually you get published. How tortuous a journey was that, from writing stories as a six-year-old in a copybook or whatever when you come home from school, to actually ending up between the covers of a book?
You know, it's just, it's kind of amazing to think about. You know, I always wanted to be a writer. I thought, wow, that, you know, that's just something I want to do. I didn't know you could make a living at it. And I was right. Most people cannot. I'm very aware of how fortunate I am. But I'm still excited about storytelling. You know, I'm several years, we won't say how many years, into my career now. And I'm always looking for new and interesting ways to tell stories. And to me, that's the true satisfaction of being a writer, is being able to choose what I want to write about and just being incredibly grateful that my readers have followed me on this journey.
Well, the latest book, This Is Why We Lie, just in case people don't know, it's the latest in the Will Trent series, which, of course, we got to see Will Trent on television. Over here was Disney Plus, I presume the same in the United States. We've had two series so far. Will there be a third?
Yeah, they're working on it now. And the exciting thing is that there will be more episodes this time. It airs on a tertiary channel here also, in addition to streaming. And it's called the ABC Network. And they are working on 18 episodes. And I think it's going to be fantastic. I've already talked to the writers. I might throw my hand in and write one of the episodes this year, or for next year, rather, because they start, obviously, in the fall. But I'm very excited about it. I think they're doing amazing things.
And Karen, when I watched it on television, I don't know what I expected of Will Trent. I mean, obviously I knew the backstory about his upbringing and so on, but I wasn't sure what he might look like. And when I saw Ramon Rodriguez, first of all, I thought, that's not the Will Trent in my head. But I got used to him, and I liked him very much by the end of series two. What about you? Did you have any hand in the casting?
You know, they consulted me, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, being in the entertainment news industry. Consultation means that you can get overruled.
Yeah.
But I was delighted with Ramon. You know, at first I thought, well, that's not how Will looks. But the fact is, you could have a tall Swedish guy playing Will Trent, who's not really keyed into who the character is, or you can have someone like Ramon, who's, you know, he's from one of the most beautiful parts of our country, Puerto Rico. He's a wonderful actor. He gets along really well with Betty, the Chihuahua. And I just think he captures the heart and sensitivity of a character in a way that, to me, is the essence of Will. So I'm super pleased with it.
Yeah, I reckon if you had that tall Swedish-looking guy, the lived experience would be harder to etch on a tall, blonde Scandinavian face than on Ramon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Finally, I should ask you about Slaughterfest. It's a funny name, but it's all about you.
Yes. It is, which is kind of weird to think about, but, you know, I love the idea of it because it gives a chance to bring in author friends of mine who I know, like Ruth Ware, for instance, or, you know, just some of the fantastic established authors we have, and use that platform to help up-and-coming authors. So that's a really important thing to me, particularly for women. I mean, we still have some guys. Stig Abel is amazing. He was really funny this last go-round. But I love the idea of giving opportunities to new writers and using the, for lack of a better word, fame of writers who are doing really well to try to help launch them and give them a good time.
Well, Karen, look, it's great talking to you again. I'm not sure how soon you'll be sequestering back in the log cabin to write your next, but for the moment, we're all very much enjoying the current book, which is called This Is Why We Lied. Karen Slaughter, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.